our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 160, or sorry, 60, the first three verses. Psalter 60, the first three verses. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, oh, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. It is 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 60. Found in the book of the Psalms, thereof Psalm 143. But first let us do confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Psalm 143, a psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant thus far.
Let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence among us this evening. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, in thy goodness and thy providence, we may again, for the second time on thy day, enter into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, wilt thou teach us to pray? Thou hast said in thy word, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Lord, we beg thee then, that thou would give us the spirit of prayer, true humiliation coming before thee, but also faith looking up unto thee, from whence cometh all our help. And Lord, thou hast made us perfect, in thy image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And we have left thee never to return. We have turned our backs unto thee. And what a wonder that thou art yet calling unto us. Where art thou? Thou art still seeking and saving lost sinners. And tonight, that we may be in thy house, is a token of thy long-suffering mercy and goodness unto us unworthy sinners, because thou hast not dealt with us according to all our iniquities and transgressions. Thou hast not dealt with us according to what we deserve, but thou art merciful. And Lord, thou hast said in thy word, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but turn ye, for why will ye die? Lord, thou hast made us to live to thy honor, to thy glory, to do thy will, to joyfully do thy will. And tonight, we will then consider also the third petition that the Lord Jesus Christ has instructed his church to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we then confess by nature we have no desire for thy will. We only love our own wills. And we are enemies. We resist thy will. But what a wonder, by thy grace and by thy power of the Holy Spirit, there is a people that become willing in the day of thy power. Their wills are broken, and they begin to live and desire to do thy will. But Lord, thou knowest also in the hearts of thy children all the rebellion, yet all the resistance against the acts of thy providence, how that flesh can rebel and resist. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that sinners may be born again, and that they may become willing in the day of thy power, but also thy dear people, that thou would take away all the resistance, all the rebellion, take away all the weapons of resistance against thee, and give that they may be more and more conformed to the image of thy dear Son, and that they live more and more with self-denial, with submission, and faithfully desiring to do thy will. Lord, we need thy grace to be renewed, but we also need thy grace upon grace to live, doing, loving, longing, obeying thy will. Look upon us then in mercy from above. Gather with us, Lord, and richly bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that outward call, that the word preached may enter into our ears, enlightening our minds, opening our blind eyes, but also renewing our wills, renewing our hearts. O, wilt thou give that outward call may come with power irresistibly, and it may come internally, that there may be life. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, tonight that it may be the hour of thy good pleasure for many, that thou would pass them by and say, live, and that they may live. That thou would pass them by and say, follow me, and that thy word would come with such power that there may be life and sinners may begin to follow thee. Lord, there's no hope in man. It's not the work of man. It's thy work, the work of an almighty triune God, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In thee there is complete salvation for complete lost sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then gather with us. Each time is a new time. Each time we need thy presence, by the power of thy Spirit, to bless thy word, to renew hearts, but also to sanctify renewed hearts. Lord, thou knowest also that we have begun a week of preparation. Oh, we beg thee for the light of thy Spirit, that thou would comfort and care for thy dear sheep in this week, but also care for the whole congregation, that we may all be active, examining ourselves, that we may see that we must be prepared to meet thee, not only to go to the Lord's Supper, but that we must be prepared for that moment that thou would call us out of this life to stand before thee. Teach us, Lord, of how great our sins and miseries are. Teach us and reveal unto us that only way of deliverance through thy dear Son, but also give a heart that longs to live in gratitude unto thee for such undeserved mercies, for such wretches. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, teach us of that only comfort in life and in death, that we do not belong unto ourselves, but that we belong unto thee, a triune God, that precious Savior who paid, that precious Father who guides and keeps and protects and will preserve his dear people, and that precious Holy Spirit that dwells in thy people to quicken them, but also to sanctify them and conform them to live according to thy will. And so, Lord, we lay before thee the whole congregation, from the youngest to the oldest. We all have the same name, sinner. We all have the same need for thy grace, and we have the same need for the same Savior. Oh, have mercy upon us, Lord. Oh, we beg thee, come among us, work mightily, irresistibly. May we see fruits upon thy word, and that we may rejoice, that we may know the Lord is among us, that he's working. Lord, hold not thy hand still, but do wonders for thy great name's sake and for the eternal salvation of unworthy sinners. Lord, remember those who have many riddles in their hearts, questions, doubts. Oh, we beg thee that they may be answered by thee, by thy word, by thy spirit. Care for each one, Lord. We lay before thee also the persecuted church on this earth, who do not have the freedom that we have to gather together on thy day. Uphold them, care for them, Lord. Comfort them, strengthen them, be near unto them. May we lay before thee our beloved denomination, Lord. Oh, we beg thee, guide us, keep us to the precious truths of thy word, of death in Adam, of life in Christ, and the way that the Lord works in the hearts of sinners to draw them unto that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thou hast taught us to pray in thy word, to beg the Lord of the harvest that he would thrust forth more laborers into thy vineyard. Lord, there is many vacant congregations in our denomination. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou who art the King of the church, it's thy church, wilt thou provide in thy mercy, and that in the coming year that many students may be accepted, that we may rejoice in thy works. Lord, we deserve nothing, but that thou would pass us by because we are a polluted denomination. We are sinful. We are corrupt. But, O Lord, we beg thee for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for the coming generation. Have mercy upon us. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to also remember us as families. Give us love for one another. Help us as parents to raise our children in the fear of the Lord to the utmost of our ability, that we may be faithful. Forgive our sins as parents, Lord, and bless thy word richly in our homes. Remember us as husbands and as wives. Give love for one another, that we may be helpmeets not only for this life, but for the life to come. And Lord, give faithfulness. Remember those who may struggle in their marriages. Oh, give love, kindle it again, and give unity. Give that they may live in holiness as a husband and as a wife. Remember those who are single and who are longing for a partner for life. Lord, wilt thou provide for them a godly partner? Remember those who are dating, those who are longing to get married. Give them also that they may live in holiness and that they may be guided by thee. Lord, we pray also for our children, the little children, the teenagers, the older ones. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, work in their hearts. Help us, Lord, to educate our children, not only to prepare to live in this world, but also especially to be prepared to leave this world. Whether we are educating our children in home or at school, bless it richly, Lord. Help us as parents teachers, principals, staff. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that there may be many Timothys among us, young children, with the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, that they cannot sin, but that they long to do thy will. Lord, we beg thee and ask thee to remember also all those whom thou hast placed over in authority over us. Help them, Lord. Give them wisdom, but above all, Lord, give them the fear of the Lord in their hearts, that they may begin each day on their knees, that they may begin by reading thy word each day, and that they may cry unto thee to be guided, to be led, to instruct, to teach, to govern this people in this nation. O Lord, we ask this, but we must confess we have so little hope that thou would work in the hearts of those who govern over us. Forgive us, Lord. Thou art that mighty God who can do mighty things for thy honor, for thy glory. Have mercy upon us. Remember us also as a nation, as our national sins, especially of abortion, of all that bloodshed, but also of that great sin of euthanasia, of marriages, transgenderism also, Lord. Have mercy on us. Of those who marry as man and woman and woman. Lord, thou hast said that we are to be married as thou hast instituted marriage already in paradise with one man and with one woman. What a blessing, what a gift. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us. Cleanse us of all our sins. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Lord, we deserve nothing but darkness, and that thou would pass us by. But, O Lord, we beg thee, look upon us in mercy. Look upon us through thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. And may we ask thee tonight, Lord, help thy servant to preach. Give him the unction of the Holy Spirit. Guide him, guide his mouth, be with his lips. Give him the words. And we pray that as thy word may be proclaimed, that thou would accompany it with the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be those blessings that thou alone can give of regeneration, but also that there may be comfort, instruction for the edification of thy dear people. Lord, have mercy upon us. Look upon us through that righteousness of thy dear Son, of that only precious mediator and Redeemer. Lord, wash us in his all-atoning blood, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us continue now, congregation, with singing from Psalter 428, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. How blessed are the perfect in the way, who walking in Jehovah's law with pleasure, preserve their piety from day to day. How blessed are they who make his word their treasure, who keep his testimonies and display their love for him, whose goodness none can measure. Psalter 428, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. In the meantime, your offerings will be received. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, when you hear the phrase God's will, what do you think about? What enters your mind? This evening, let us begin together with considering verses from the precious Word of God about the will of God. God's will. This is a precious doctrinal truth. We read in Psalm 33, verse 11, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever." And we read in Daniel 11, verse 36, "For that which is determined shall be done." God's will. It includes the salvation of His beloved chosen people. We read this, for example, in Ephesians 1, verse 11. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." God's will. By nature, we are enemies of God's will. We're like Pharaoh. What do we read about Pharaoh? We read in Exodus 5, verse 2, "And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord, that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." In our hearts is, we will not have this man rule over us. That's a picture of you and us all by nature. We're like Pharaoh. God's will. Who will or who will not enter into the kingdom of heaven? Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." And now listen. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." God's will. Sinners are born again. Those who are enemies and who resist with their whole being against God's will. And they're born again and they become willing in the day of His power. Read this, for example, in Psalm 110, verse 3. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." And I also think of what Paul wrote in connection to this in Philippians 2, verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Congregation, my friend, have you become willing in the day of God's power? Or are you still fighting, resisting against God? Do you desire to live your life doing the will of God, or do you still desire to live your life according to your own will? God's will. Believers, those little lambs, the sheep, they begin to pray and they long to be taught His will, as we read in Psalm 143, verse 10. "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." God's will. It's a beautiful confession of Daniel, which we read in Daniel 4, verse 35. "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou?" The will of God. But lastly, one more point. The perfect example of Jesus Christ. We read in Luke 22, verse 42, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And there's many more examples in the precious Word of God about the will of God. We read a lot in the Bible about the will of God. The Bible, in fact, is the revealed will of God. And this evening, we will consider the third petition. Remember, the disciples heard the Lord Jesus Christ praying. And at the end, they asked Him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And the Lord taught him to pray in that well-known prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer. We've considered the address, our Father. We've considered the first two petitions. And tonight, now we come to the third petition that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. What is the third petition? It's what we read in Matthew 6, verse 10. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What is the Lord Jesus teaching when he teaches to pray, thy will be done? What are you praying when you pray this prayer and ask, Lord, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven? What is the Lord Jesus specifically teaching his sheep to pray with this third petition? Remember, we're in the third part of the Heidelberg Catechism. We're not in the first part about misery. We're not in the second part about deliverance. But it's the part of gratitude, of sanctification. And so let us read the Lord's Day, which is connected to this third petition, Lord's Day 49. You can find it in the back of your Psalter on page 85. Lord's Day 49, question and answer 124. What is the third petition? Answer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. The theme tonight is the third petition, thy will be done. God's children have become made willing in the day of his power. Their wills have been broken. They have been renewed. And in their heart, there is that principle, not my will, but thy will be done. But it's only a little tiny beginning. Only a little tiny beginning in their life. And the Lord Jesus Christ teaches them to pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How will they obey this command? Three thoughts from the Heidelberg Catechism. By continual self-denial. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's the first thought. By continual self-denial. The second thought is by continual submission. Thy will be done. Continual submission. And the third thought, by continual faithfulness. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the theme, the third petition, thy will be done. Our first thought, by continual self-denial. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Young people, children, I think you ask your parents many things, and that's good. You ask your father for permission, or you ask your mother for permission. That's good, because they are the authority in your home, God-given authority. But how do you ask them certain things? Do you ask them with a desire that you can persuade your father or your mother, the authority in your home, to do exactly what you want them, what you want to do? Do you ask them hoping to change their mind so that they would answer according to what you want to do? If this is the case, we're not really asking for permission. We're actually asking for our parents to do our own will. And now, dear congregation, is this how you and I pray? Is this how we pray to the Almighty God of heaven and earth? Do we ask God things, but we are hoping to convince God to do our will? Do we use our prayers to tell God about our will? Do we pray, do we want God to help us to do what our will is? How do you pray? Do you pray, thy will be done? Do you have self-denial? I remember a missionary, he came from China. And he did a presentation in Chilliwack. And he spoke and he said, those people in China, they told me something. They listen and hear the people from America pray. And they say you pray so differently than how we pray. And so this man that did the presentation, he asked him, please explain, what do you mean? He says, I hear in your prayers, Lord, change this. Take this away. Take this cross away. Change this. But he said, us Christians in China, we pray for God's grace to follow his will. What a statement. How do you pray, congregation? How do I pray? Children of God, how do you pray? In this third petition of the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus Christ instructs us to pray and to focus on God's will, not on our own will. Prayer is not for us to change God's will, but prayer is for God to change us and to change our will, to follow him in self-denial. By nature, we desire only to do our own will. We are born as enemies of God, and we need a radical renewal in our being, including our will. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, sinners are born again, and they do become willing in the day of his power, and they begin to long to know his will, and they begin to pray for his will. Children, do you know someone in the Bible who lived his life his own will? He was very self-righteous, but the Lord stopped him. And what was his prayer, young people? What was Saul's prayer? How did he begin to pray? We read that in Acts 9, verse 6. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Have you ever prayed this? You say, yes, I've repeated. No, I want to ask you, have you ever prayed this from your heart? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, I want to know thy will. I want to follow thy will. A believer, those children of God, those poor in the spirit, they will continually pray, and they need to be continually conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And they pray, for example, as we read in Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. My friend, what is the attitude in your prayer? What is the attitude in my prayer? Is our prayers not my will, Lord, but thy will be done? Are you allowed? Are you allowing God to be God in your life? Yes, are you allowing God to be God in your life? Martin Luther said, half of all truth religion is letting God be God. And this requires self-denial. Self-denial every day. Let me ask you another question. Do you need a Savior? Do you need a Savior in your life? But is that Savior also Lord in your life? Or do you only want a Savior, but you don't want him to be Lord? No, you cannot separate those two things, congregation. There's a people. They need him as their Savior, and they long that he would also be Lord in their life. They have self-denial. They want to follow him. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Our great problem is that our own will hates God's will. And by nature, we resist it with our whole being, but also even after grace. Yes, after grace. We need to be conformed more and more to the will of God, to the perfect picture of Jesus Christ. In paradise, our will was in perfect harmony with the will of God. The will of the Creator and the will of the creature was in perfect harmony. But by our willful rebellion against God, man became totally depraved, also his will. Man did not lose his will, but his will became completely corrupted. A will that's against God. Is that still you? Or have you become willing in the day of God's power? I saw a picture once on a wall. There was a picture of a whole world. And above that picture was a little tiny man sitting on a throne. And he had a saying, "I am the God of the universe." That's a picture of you and me by nature, without God's grace. A depraved sinner needs God's renewing grace to become willing to do God's will. And the Almighty God of heaven and earth has the power to change those who are only unwilling to make them willing. But he also has grace upon grace upon grace for his stubborn, foolish, rebellious sheep, that they would continually, willingly follow, deny self, and to do his will. Thy will be done. Letting go and letting God be king in your life is a life of true joy and peace. Let's read the part of the catechism again. Which is the third petition? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will. What is it to renounce your own will? What is self-denial? Well, the Lord Jesus explains this. For example, in Luke 9, verse 23, he said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And John Calvin says, there's two main fundamental aspects in the life of a true Christian that they cannot miss. What are those two things? He said, cross-bearing and self-denial. And he continues, self-denial has two aspects. The first one is that you become willing to obey the commands of God. That you begin to love the will of God because the commands of God are his will. God's people become willing and they desire to obey, to follow God's will, not to follow their flesh. They begin to delight in the will, in the commands of God. Is that your heart? This was the heart of Moses. Children, you know who Moses is. He was in Egypt. He was a prince. He had everything his heart could desire, you say. All the riches, the best food, everything. But Moses saw that in the land was a blessed people, the Israelites. And what did Moses do? Did he long to just follow his flesh and to live in Egypt with all those earthly blessings? No, he denied his own fleshly desires and he wanted to obey. He wanted to follow the Lord. Open your Bible, please, to Hebrews 11. We will read three verses. Hebrews 11, verse 24, 25, and 26. It's about Moses and that choice he made by God's grace and by faith. He denied himself. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt. He denied himself. He denied himself to obey God, the will of God. And then John Calvin says the second aspect of self-denial is denial of our own will against the acts of God's providence in our life. Everything that takes place in your life and in my life is from the almighty, blessed providence of the almighty God. Self-denial is by not murmuring. is by not complaining against the acts of providence in our life, to be patient in adversity and to be thankful in prosperity. I think of Job. Job, think of all that came in his life by God's providence. How did Job respond? He lost all his possessions. He lost all his children. What affliction, what acts of God's providence in his life. How did he respond? Well, we read in Job 1, verse 20 and 21. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground in worship, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What self-denial to the will of God's acts of providence. Job did not understand it, but he denied himself. As we read in the beginning, and John Calvin said, "Let self-denial be the first step to spiritual life." Self-denial, "Thy will be done, not my will." Then a man departs from himself that he may apply the whole force of his ability in the service of the Lord. Congregation, we cannot have two masters in our life. We cannot. I cannot be the master. I cannot be the king and the Lord in my life and the Lord at the same time. Cannot. To follow, to obey the Lord's will, we must deny ourselves wholeheartedly, joyfully, and to do God's will. It's not enough to intellectually know God's will. That's a great blessing. But to know God's will and not to do it, that's absolute foolishness. And God says in his word, and I say it my own words, those who knew to do his will and did it not, they will be beaten with many stripes. And we need grace. Initial grace. And we need grace upon grace upon grace to deny self and to unconditionally accept, to obey God's commands and to accept his acts of providence in our life. We need strength and grace to perform and to obey and to do his will. Ephesians 6 verse 6. But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. How do you live? Are you denying self? Joyfully, without complaining, without murmuring, and longing. Lord, thy will be done, not my will. Oh, how we need grace. Praying, thy will be done, is to deny your own will. It's denying my own fleshly desires. I think of Joseph, remember? He was tempted by that woman in Egypt. And Joseph didn't say, "I don't desire this." No, what did he say? "How can I do this great evil and sin against God?" He had a longing in his heart to deny all his own fleshly desires and to do the will of God because he loved God. He had awe for God. He had respect for God. Is that your heart? Denying self. Denying sinful rebellion. To do what God, as a father, sees fit to do in your life and in my life. Things that we don't like. Things in the family. Afflictions. Sickness in the body. Troubles. In numerous ways. Or do we begin immediately to complain and murmur? Or do we say, and do we surrender? And do we say, "Thy will be done. Thy will be done." What do true believers ask in this petition? What are the sheep of the good shepherd instructed to pray? Not my will, but thy will. How will they live this way? How are they to live? By self-denial. Oh, how we need God's grace. How you need your will renewed, but how you need grace upon grace upon grace. Do you feel how sinful we are? How polluted we are, congregation? You who have no desire to do God's will at all, what a mountain of sin you have. But also you, sheep of the Good Shepherd, what a mountain of sin we have. How we can again become so rebellious when those things go against our flesh, that the wind blows against us. How we can again be rebellious, how we can so be against what God has called us to do. And I remember this. When the Lord spoke and called me, I believe, from Ephesians 3 verse 8 to the ministry, I knew the Lord had spoken, but to surrender was something else. To wholeheartedly surrender and to obey, that's something else. And I remember coming into church on Sunday, and at night, this was the catechism that was preached. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. I know the Lord had spoken, but I hadn't surrendered. And there's no peace in that. There's no peace. But I couldn't bring myself to wholeheartedly surrender until the Lord spoke. I couldn't surrender because I knew what effect it would have on my dear children. They'd be uprooted. And I fought against God. But then the Lord spoke. The Lord said, whoso loveth father or mother, or brother or sister, or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And I had to surrender because his love is everything. Oh, how rebellious can we be against God and against his will. We need grace upon grace upon grace. Yes, sheep of the Good Shepherd, we need daily grace. We need daily cleansing from all our rebellion. We need that blood to wash us, to cleanse us. But there is one. There is one who walked upon this earth, who every moment of his life, with his whole being, who only joyfully, delightfully did the will of God. Who is that? That's the precious mediator, the precious Lord Jesus Christ. He said, as we read in Psalm 40 verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. He obeyed the law. He denied himself. He left the glory. Think of it. Of all that infinite holiness, purity. And he humbled himself. And he came to this earth. And you see him in that garden. You see him there. And what did he pray? If, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we read in Philippians 2 verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The third petition, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This petition teaches us, children of God, the daily continual need for self-denial. But what else does the Lord teach? What else do we need? Well, we will consider that in our second and third thought, but let us first sing. Let us first sing from Psalter 322. No, 391. 391, all four stanzas. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. Psalter 391, all four stanzas. Thank you. the third petition, thy will be done. How? How will those sheep, those lambs, live this way? How will they obey? By continual self-denial, but also by continual submission. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, thy will be done. What are they asking in this petition? Not my will, but thy will be done. How will they do God's will? By submission, to submit to God's will. And to submit to God's will, you need to know what is God's will. Because we cannot submit to something that we do not know. What is the will of God? The will of God is his being. God. God's will is the core of his being. It's who God is. He reveals his will in his word. He reveals himself of who he is. The perfection of his being by which God exercises the power to do as he pleases is his will. God will do what he desires, and how he desires, when he desires. He determines it's all of it, from the beginning to the end. We read in Psalm 115, verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And we read in Isaiah 46, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God's will. How does he reveal his will? Well, we know there's a secret will and there's a revealed will. Should we pry into the secret things of God? No. God has revealed unto you and to me the things that we are called to obey, to believe, to listen to. That's his word. The will of God is his word, the revealed will of God. God has given to you and me his revealed will, his word, which we are called to wholeheartedly submit to, and to do this with joy, giving honor and glory to his name. Congregation, we are called to submit to God's revealed will, to law and gospel, to the Ten Commandments, to all that is revealed in his whole word, to the doctrines of grace, to the truth, all of it, not some, not part, but to the whole word of God, to submit to the revealed will of God. To know the word will of God, then we need to study his word. Do you long to know the will of God for your life? Of how you are to live? Do you? Do you ask, how may I know God's word? Study his revealed word, his revealed will. He reveals his will unto sinners through his word. Do you want to know how you are to live as a church family? Do you want to know how to live as a husband, as a wife? Do you want to know how to live in dating life? Do you want to know how to live as a single? Do you want to know how to live as an office bearer? Do I want to know how to live as an ambassador of Jesus Christ? Do you want to know how to live as a teacher? Or in whatever calling the Lord has placed you in, as a father, as a mother, as a child? Do you want to know how to live with those that you have a disagreement with? Do you want to know how to live with someone who has wronged you? Do you want to know how to live with someone who has done a public sin? And you know it? It's all by God's revealed will. Do you want to know God's will? Do you want to submit to his will? Read his precious word. God reveals his will unto all of us, how to live on this earth, submitting to his will by his word, his precious word. And pray and beg God to make you willing in the day of his power to submit. But also, sheep, Lambs of the Good Shepherd, pray and ask him for grace to submit continually. We're not only called to be a hearer of the word, congregation, we are called also to be a doer of the word. Are you? Have you, by God's grace, become not only a hearer, but also a doer? Are you submitting with your whole heart to the will of God? Can you pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Well, what does it mean to submit? What does it mean, children, to submit? For example, your mother says, "Go clean your room." What does it mean that you go grumbling and complaining and murmuring? Do we submit because we must do something, otherwise there will be consequences? Do we submit and obey? Is submitting because we want to escape the consequences? Is submitting doing something because you have to? I have to do this? That's not submitting. That's not submitting. What is submission? What is true submission, congregation? It's not doing something because you have to do it, but your heart has been renewed and you desire to do it. True submission is with the heart, not with the mind, to submit, yielding. Yielding to the almighty authority of God. And he has poured love in your heart, and you have love for him. You want to obey him. You submit. It's not to do this murmuring or complaining, but it's to do it with joy. With joy, submitting, with love. May the Lord give grace in your heart. That's my prayer for you, that you have self-denial and that you wholeheartedly submit by his grace. And that out of this denial, out of this submission, that you live in love to God and to your neighbor, that you love him as yourself. We read in Ephesians 5 verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Is that how we live as a congregation? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God? Or we read also in Philippians 2 verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. The Lord Jesus taught his church on earth to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sheep, do you submit wholeheartedly with joy to all of God's commands and to all his acts of providence in your life? Do you do this willingly? Do you do this joyfully, without complaining, without murmuring, obeying, following, looking to him, pouring out your heart unto him, sharing it all with him, but yet following unconditionally? Oh, what a mountain of sin we have. You who have never submitted, what a mountain of sin you have. But also, you, Church of God, what a mountain of sin. Children of God, when we cannot wholeheartedly pray with something in our life, thy will be done, darkness comes. Is that not true? Darkness. There's no peace. There's no joy now. When we resist, when we rebel, when we're a little Jonah again, when we cannot pray with our whole heart, thy will be done, then there's no peace. There's only true peace, true joy, with unconditionally submitting with your whole heart, with your whole life, to the will of God. Thy will be done is a lifelong petition. And we need to pray, oh Almighty God, help me. Help me today as I begin this day to deny self. Help me to submit to whatever comes in my life in the way of thy providence. Help me to submit to thy commands, to obey willfully, joyfully. Oh Almighty God, give me that grace to submit. Oh God, give me the grace to willfully, joyfully follow thy will. Almighty God, conform me more and more to the image of thy dear Son. Do you pray this? Sheep? Lamb? Do you pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Do you pray that you may submit every day? What is Jesus Christ teaching his sheep by this third petition? What do true believers ask with this petition? How will they obey God's will? Well, by self-denial. Continual self-denial and by continual submission. And how we need grace, day by day, hour by hour, to live this way. But one more thought, or third thought. By continual faithfulness, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's read again the question and answer of Lord's Day 49, question and answer 124. Which is the third petition? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. Can you say that? Thy will, it's only good. Thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Do you pray this prayer? May I ask you, do you pray this prayer? How do you pray this prayer? Do you know what you're asking when you pray this prayer? When you pray this third petition, thy will be done? Do you consider that you're asking that your will would be like the will of the angels in heaven? Do you think about this? Do I think about this when I pray this prayer? This is a very serious request, congregation. The angels obey the will of God perfectly, joyfully, faithfully, willingly, every moment, and with much reverence I say, no angel will ever say to God, I will first do what I want, and then I will obey thy will. No, that never enters into the being of a holy angel. No angel will reluctantly obey the almighty will of God. They obey immediately, willfully, joyfully, faithfully, with their whole being. What a command to faithfully, to continually faithfully obey as the angels in heaven. And now I'd like to give just some simple practical points. Husbands, and that includes me. Do you obey the will of God? And do you and I love our wives as Christ loves his church? Do you? Do I? Do we do this faithfully every day? What a command to obey as faithful as the angels are in heaven. Wives, yes, your turn. Do you submit to your husband? Do you submit every day, willingly, faithfully? The angels in heaven submit faithfully, willing to the Almighty God. Children, your turn. Do you obey your parents willfully as unto the Lord? There is no perfect father. There is no perfect mother. We're sinners. Pray for us. But you're called to obey your parents as unto the Lord, as faithful as the angels are obeying and obedient to God. My friends, you who work, do you obey faithfully authority that God has given you in your place of employment? Or do you murmur? Do you complain? Are you faithful in your tasks that the Lord has placed upon you in your calling as the angels in heaven? Am I a faithful, obedient pastor as the angels are in heaven? How sinful we all are. Are you a faithful office bearer, an elder, a deacon, as faithful as the angels are in heaven? how sinful we are. We are to obey and to follow, to self-denial, to submission, and to be faithful as the angels in heaven. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Is your heart like the angels? Oh, how we have, Church of God, only a small beginning. How sinful we are. How we need that righteousness of Christ to cover us. And how we need that blood to wash us. God created us joyfully, to joyfully obey, to submit, to faithfully obey him with our whole being, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our heart. Think of the angels. Use the word of God and think of the angels. Use it as a mirror and hold it before you tonight. They're faithful, never rebelling, those angels in heaven, obedient, joyfully submitting, faithful. Is that you? Oh, how sinful we are. And the Lord Jesus taught his dear church, he taught them, his sheep, to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's teaching us to pray for what? Also to ask for perfection. Yes, he says, I am holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. He's teaching also in this petition to ask for perfection. Why? First, for the glory of his name. He's worthy that we would serve him in perfection as the angels, but also for your own comfort, for the assurance of salvation, but also to gain others by our good works, that they may see and that they may be gained to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, do pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you long to do God's will? Do you long that this whole world, that all of Canada, that those that rule of us, that they would long to do God's will? Does it grieve you that you do not do God's will? Is there pain in your heart? Does it grieve you that the nation, our nation, does not have any desire to obey the will of God? Does it grieve you? Or do you only criticize them? Is there pain in your heart, in my heart, because of our sin, that we do not do the will of God, and that our nation is an ungodly nation founded upon Christian principles? Jeremiah, he said, oh, how he wept. Rivers of waters ran down from his eyes because he saw in his nation, his beloved people, that they did not do the will of God. God's people grieve because they have not done God's will, and that they only have a tiny little small beginning, how they can be so rebellious again against God's will. But they also grieve that others, not that they look down upon him, but for the glory of God, they want all to obey him, to do his will, because the Lord is so worthy. Is this your heart? Is there sorrow because of God's will not being done in your own life and the life of others? And how about you, unconverted friend? I want to talk to you for just a moment. What is God's will for you? What is God's will for you? Is that you just continue in sin? Is that his will? I don't read that in the Bible anywhere. That's not his will. He says, seek me. He says, make haste for your life. He says, I have no pleasure in your death, but turn ye, for why will ye die? His command is that you would repent. His command is that you would believe. Yes, it's in the Bible, congregation. Listen, Acts 17, verse 30. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And he also says, he commandeth all men to believe. And the Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry, and he said, repent and believe the gospel. My friend, unconverted friend, if you persist in your stubborn rebellion and resisting against God and continue only living according to your flesh, you will utterly perish. Beg God for his grace to break your will and to make you willing in the day of his power and to be living in self-denial, submitting, and to be faithful to do his will. And dear sheep, how are you living? How are you living? Your will has been renewed. But are you longing for your will to be conformed to the will of your good shepherd, to be made like him, to be able to live in holiness to God? How must you, children of God, sheep of the good shepherd, actively pursue godliness? Please open your Bibles one more time. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 and 12. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 and 12. And we read 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And that's all those things referring into the previous verses, all sin. And now listen, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Listen to the exhortation of the Lord, sheep of the good shepherd. And maybe you feel so guilty. I hope you do. We're all guilty. You who have never ever begun with any desire to do the will of God, I hope you go home feeling absolutely guilty. That would be good. You go home crying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I have no desire to do thy will. But you also, sheep, little lambs, maybe you feel so guilty now. But there's only one way that you can be perfect, and that's through him, the Lord our righteousness. He lived doing that perfect will, and he has that righteousness to cover the rebellious also. Oh, how we can feel so rebellious again. He lived. He came upon this earth. He denied himself. He humbled himself. And he did it willingly. Willingly. He did it joyfully. He went to the cross. Joyfully doing the will of his Father. Because he had a looking to that reward. What was that reward? That he would receive a bride. That all those whom the Father had given him would be forever in heaven, redeemed, living perfectly every moment with their whole being, as faithful in the heavens as the angels doing the will of God. My friend, it's a week of preparation. Examine yourself by the word of God. Say, search me, try me, O God, and see if there any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting life. Examine yourself according to those three points in the liturgy of the Lord's Supper. And what's the last one? What's the third one? That's to live in gratitude. Is that your life? It's not only that you know how great your sins and miseries are, and that the Lord could not leave this unpunished, and that he punished his only Son, and that you trust that the only hope of the forgiveness of sins is in Jesus Christ. But is your heart, your life also, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Do you long? Do you long to live a life of gratitude? To serve him perfectly, submitting, self-denial, surrendering, and to be firmly resolved to live faithfully doing his will? If this is your heart, if this is your life by God's grace, then I must say, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you're welcome. You're invited. You're commanded to obey. But if you miss these things, if your will has not been broken, if you only want to do your own will, please, please, with all the love of my heart, do not attend. Because then the Lord, his wrath will be stirred up against us. And beg him to make you willing in the day of his power. And you may come, poor needy sinners, in the midst of death, with all your sin also against this third petition. Against all your wickedness, you may come in the midst of death, seeking shelter under those precious wings of that good and faithful shepherd of his sheep. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty, eternal Lord God of heaven and earth, thou hast created us to joyfully, wholeheartedly, with our whole being, to do thy will. Oh, we confess, O Lord, that we rebelled against thee, and by nature there is no desire in our life, in our heart, to do thy will. And sometimes we do thy will, but it's only with murmuring and complaining, reluctant, with no love, with no joy. O Lord, forgive us, but also thy sheep, how they can be so rebellious again, so foolish. O Lord, cleanse us of all our many sins. May we lay before thee the whole congregation in this week of preparation. May we beg thee again. O Almighty God, work mightily, powerfully by thy word and by thy spirit, and that all thy dear lambs and thy sheep may have a longing to come, to obey, to sit at thy table, and to receive a little token, a little taste, a little sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Lord, look upon us in mercy. Bring us again in thy house on Wednesday. Open thy words. Bless thy word richly, Lord, that thy kingdom may come, that thy will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this in the forgiveness of all our many sins, in preaching and in listening. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing now Psalter 7, all three stanzas. On the good and faithful, God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings from above. Stand in awe and sin not. Bid your heart be still. Through the silent watches, think upon his will. Psalter 7, all three stanzas. Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.